Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
God says if someone is so wise that they worship creation rather than the Creator, they got it mixed up. And in a country that's throwing away the Ten Commandments, and in a country that's refusing football coaches to pray with their teams, in a country that's saying, we know not the Lord, I want to challenge you this morning not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and He has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called God's Confirmation to Moses.
Now, this may not be in your notes, so turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 very quickly. And I want you to see this as we look at some of the ways that we can worship God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. When you pray, it is acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. And so we come and we sing and we pray and we preach. And then notice another way, finally, turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. And it says this, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Now watch this phrase, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So when we sing, when we pray, when we give, there are other instances the scriptures mention, this is how we worship our God. How do you worship a God that died for you? In our thankful spirit, in our song, in our giving, all of these ways are ways that we express ourselves to God. And so the confrontation with Pharaoh was this, Pharaoh, let my people go. Let them go 3 days' journey so that they can be away from all of this and worship me. And I'm glad that on Sunday morning we can get out of the factory and get out of the aerospace plant and get out of Burbank and get out of Hollywood and get out of all of the rest of it and come to a place where the songs are not about broken marriages and illicit sex. The songs are about Jesus Christ, and the talking is not about gossip around the water cooler, but the talking is about Jesus Christ, and the giving is not to union dues or to the picnic fund, but it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, Lancaster Baptist Church is a place where we can come 3 days' journey out and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. God has called us out unto Himself. Well, how does that go over? Well, let's notice this. Secondly, if you're taking notes, the condition of the world. The condition of the world. Now notice what happens in verse 2. Pretty amazing. This is sort of some of your bosses at work. This may be like some political leaders. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Pharaoh go? Right? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Now, when Moses went before Pharaoh, everything did not seem to fall right into place for him. Did you notice that? Pharaoh didn't say, what must I do to be saved? Pharaoh didn't say, you know, I've been thinking about this, and we've been too hard on you guys, and, you know, we haven't had a day off enough for you, and that would just be great. In fact, let me come and sing Kumbaya with you. He didn't say that. He said, who is the Lord? And Pharaoh said, we do not know the Lord. And I want you to notice the condition of the world that we witness to. First of all, it is a condition of disbelief. Who is the Lord? And friends, may we never forget, and I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but I want to be faithful to the Word, and I want to tell you something. We live in a day when many people, and we wonder, why do they respond this way? It's because they don't know the Lord. And so we see that Pharaoh did not know the Lord. There were so many gods that he worshiped. There was Osiris, the frog-faced god, and Apis, the sacred bull, and Ra, the hawk-faced god, and Isis, the queen of heaven. I mean, they had so many different gods that they worshiped. He didn't know the most important and the god that was above every god and the name that was above every name. And it wasn't like they didn't have an opportunity, for Joseph had been in their midst, and yet Joseph's influence was not heard in the way of God's presence. And Romans 1 speaks of our day, and the Bible says in your notes as well, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And these men who say that Christians needed a myth, and they profess themselves to be wise and higher than God, I'm telling you, they might be able to invent a computer, but they're not as wise as they think. In fact, if they deny the existence of God, they are fools, my friend. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody say amen this morning. We serve a God that is alive. He's a creator God. And to deny his existence is a very foolish thing. Romans 1:22. Look at it. Is it in your notes this morning? Then read it with me, would you please? Professing themselves to be wise. I don't want someone walking out here and saying, man, Pastor Chappell just called everybody a fool today. I think I just read the Bible. You know, God says if someone is so wise that they worship creation rather than the Creator, they got it mixed up, right? And in a country that's throwing away the Ten Commandments, and in a country that's refusing football coaches to pray with their teams, in a country that's saying, we know not the Lord, I want to challenge you this morning and lovingly admonish you this morning not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they find when they met Pharaoh? They found disbelief. Secondly, they found disregard. And we could develop this, but notice in verse 2, he says, neither will I let Israel go. And in verse 4, he says, why should I let them from their work? And in verse 7, he says, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick. And literally what he's saying here is, I'm going to make it even harder on them. The straw gave some consistency to the brick making, and it held the clay together. He says, look, and I'm tired of hearing about this 3 days journey. I don't want to hear about your God and your desire to go out there and live for God. You just need to blend in with our culture. In fact, he says, don't give them any more straw. Let's make their life just a little more miserable. That was the condition that they found. And I might say this morning that we find that condition often in the world today. A condition that says, I don't know the Lord. But then I want you to see, finally this morning, the confirmation for Moses. And before we look at this, I want you just to get into your mind. Imagine that you're Moses. You're over here in Midian. God shows up in a burning bush, and he says, Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses says, but God, I can't do that. And God says, what's that in your hand? And God says, put your hand in your bosom. And God begins to reveal. And God brings Aaron. And now they're coming back into Egypt. And so Moses, yeah, he forgot to say the part about killing his son. But he gets most of the message out. And he does what he is supposed to do, you know. Like some of you give a gospel tract. You know, you do what you're supposed to do. And what do you get? You get someone going, hey, I got my own religion. Right? You get someone saying, I'm not that interested. And all of the sudden, the condition of the world reveals itself to you right smack dab in your face, right? What do you do with that? Am I the only one, or do some of you get that here and there? I was at the hospital yesterday making a visit. And just trying to talk to the patient there also, but also to one of the medical practitioners. And wasn't interested at all in the things of the Lord. I said, sometimes I'll say, I'm Pastor Chappell, and they'll pause a little bit. Oh, Pastor, how can I help you? Didn't mean a thing to her. Not a thing. What do you do when someone is somewhat rude toward you in your just trying to be a presence for Christ. What do you do with that? Well, look at what happens in verse 22 of chapter 5. The Bible says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? And why is it that thou hast sent me?" Do any of you ever see the humor of God in the Bible? Moses' question, I want you to see it. He's basically saying, Lord, why did you let this happen to everybody? And why did you send me to be the guy? I mean, I went in there, I told him almost everything you told me to say, and all he says to me is, I don't believe in your God. Get out of here and get back to work. God, why are you doing this to me? I don't want to be a soul winner. It's too hard. I don't want to knock on Pharaoh's door anymore. And Moses does in verse 22 what all spiritual leaders do when the going is tough. He took his burden to the Lord. And he talks to the Lord about the problem that he had. Lord, I knocked on Pharaoh's door, but it didn't go really well. He doesn't want to go to my Sunday school class next week. And he told me to get back to work. And they don't want us to have a Bible study here. And they don't have a room available, whatever the situation. Several years ago in Houston, Texas, there was this rash of people getting bit by dogs, and it was just lots of wild dogs everywhere. The newspapers had run several stories about different gruesome attacks by these pit bulls and all these dogs. And there was one story, however, involving a little boy named DJ, and the story wasn't quite as tragic. A reporter asked DJ, said, "How did you manage to come away from that dog attack unharmed the way that you did?" And the little boy got the most serious expression on his face. He said, "Well, right in the middle of the attack, right when they were coming towards me and showing their fangs, right at that moment, the Lord spoke to me." The reporter said, "Really? What did the Lord say?" And the little boy said, "The Lord said, 'Run, DJ, run!'" And so that's what I did. Now, I think Moses would have liked it if God would have said, "Run, Moses, run!" You know, it's okay. You know, you tried. That's enough, right? And yet, Moses says to the Lord in verse 22, "Lord, why are you doing this? It's just getting worse." Now, one thing that Moses forgot, sometimes we forget too. Is everybody with me this morning? Amen. Sometimes we forget what Moses forgot. In your notes, Exodus 3:19, it says, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go." God already told him, hey, he's not going to let you go, right? God already told him that. Why was Moses so surprised? By the way, church, the Bible says, in the world you shall have what? Tribulation. Jesus said it's not always going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have some tribulation. And God had said this to him. And then notice it says in verse 20 of Exodus 3, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." But Moses forgot that whole sermon. I think one of the scariest things for us pastors would be if I just stood in the foyer and said, "What did I preach on today?" And some of you would go, God? The Bible, you know? I mean, God had told Moses, he's not going to listen to you, and he's not going to let the people go until we show all of the wonders, but we're going to start out by going in there and telling him, "Let my people go." And then verse 22, I want you to see this again. I don't think you all caught the significance of it. The last phrase, he says, "Why is it that thou hast sent me?" In other words, he's still in denial, right? I can't believe God called me to preach. God, why did you send me to Pharaoh? Why did you send me to Egypt? God, send me to Hawaii, not to Egypt. I don't know of very many young people saying, "Send me to Syria." I know a lot of them saying, "I don't want to go to church on Sunday night." But when somebody's saying, "Send me to Syria," something's going on there. And yet Moses was like, "I don't want to go to Egypt," see? And notice not only his question, but finally this morning, God's assurance. Chapter 6, we're going to spend a lot of time here next week, but look at verse 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I shall do, Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. Notice, God is reiterating his promises to Moses. And the first thing that he does in verse 2, he says, I am the Lord. Would you say that with me? I am the Lord. Verse 3, he says, but my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. By my name Jehovah was I not known. The name Jehovah, the name Lord here, it means again the self-existent one, the all-powerful, the eternal. And he has to remind Moses, and I'm having a little fun with Moses because some of us are just like Moses, right? All right, I'll give out the gospel tract. Hey, Joe, look at this. You know? And I don't go around spying on people, but I wonder sometimes if people, all right, it's time to pray for lunch. Okay, Lord, thank you for lunch. All right, okay, good. Kind of like Moses. I mean, really, Lord, 3 days journey? Really? Pharaoh? Really? And God says, now, okay, let's go back to our first lesson. Let's review. I am the Lord. I'm stronger than Pharaoh. Okay, Moses, I am the Lord. I'm eternal. I am the Lord. I've got this figured out. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I told you he's not going to listen right at first. He's going to harden his heart. I am the Lord, Isaiah 42:8. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to a graven image. Jehovah is the special name of God that links him with Israel and his covenants. I think of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and there was one man, you'll know his name. He had the largest signature on the Declaration. And when John Hancock signed that Declaration, he said, quote, there, now King George will be able to read that without his spectacles. Right? They risked their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. He said, I'm putting my name to it that you can know that I'm willing to die for this. And God says, look at Moses. Look at Lancaster Baptist Church. You don't have to fear Pharaoh. You don't have to fear the culture. You don't have to be afraid of being a witness for Christ. God is saying, listen, I am the Lord, and I will perform the doing of this. And how many of you are thankful that he put his signature on it? He signed it. So God assures us with his name, and then he assures us finally with his covenants. Now look at this in verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I also have heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Now God made two covenants with his people. First, he made what is called the Abrahamic covenant. Let's say that together. And sometimes people say, well, why are the Jews God's chosen people? Because God is God, ladies and gentlemen. We can argue about that till the cows come home. God said it. I believe it. That settles it, right? God said it, really, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. But let me give you the verse for it, okay? And here we see in chapter 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And notice this, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now mark this down. This is one of the many principles I look for in national elections. Is this candidate for Israel? Right? Are they pro-Israel? Say, well, Pastor, why would you support a candidate who's pro-Israel? Because the Bible, authored by the Lord, says that God will bless the nation that blesses Israel, and he will curse the nation that curses Israel. So you may have a president that has a strange temperament and some strange things in his past, but if he's got enough sense to know that Israel's our friend, that's a plus. Because that's what the Bible says, right? And that's what we call a covenant. God said, I'm going to make this covenant. Now, look at right here very carefully. Some of you say, well, I just don't think that's fair. That's not a fair covenant. Can I tell you about one other unfair covenant? It's called the new covenant. It's the one that lets you go to heaven when you don't deserve to go to heaven, because God made a covenant and God said, I'm going to shed my blood for you, and whoever receives Jesus as their Savior and the blood covers their sin, they're under the new covenant. And the devil says, that's not fair. And God says, it doesn't matter. I keep my promises, and you're on your way to heaven today because of a covenant of God. And I don't understand that covenant, because we don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm just glad God keeps his covenants. And God says to Moses, Moses, I made a covenant. And the covenant was that I would bring them out and I would give them their land. Genesis 15:13. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. This is speaking about Egypt, by the way. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, God said, after the Egyptians hold you, I'm going to bring you out after those 400 years. And by the way, God has many promises for us today in his New Testament covenant. He says, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 4, that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven. How many of you are thankful that God gave a promise that if we accept his son, we get to go to heaven? We ought to be thankful for that covenant today. This is his new covenant, you see. And so there is a time when God calls his people to confront Pharaoh and to confront the situations of this life. And we find when we make those confrontations, sometimes people say, yeah, whatever, I don't even believe in the Lord. And what do we do when that happens? What we do when that happens is we remember the name of the Lord, the I am that I am, and we keep trusting the Lord. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. We keep trusting him, and we remember his covenants, that is to say, his promises, and we keep going back to the Word of God and reading his Word and trusting him and being faithful to the Lord. And listen, Pharaoh may or may not get saved, and your boss may or may not get saved, and this world may or may not change the way we'd like to see it change. But we can do one thing in this generation for your children, for your grandchildren. Listen, some of your children may or may not be in church, and some of them may have chosen a more worldly way. Let me tell you something. Our children need to see a mom and a dad that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this community needs to see a church that's going 3 days' journey with God and worshiping him and loving him and being faithful to him. And when will someone get saved, or when will someone come back to the Lord? We don't always know, but we always can know this. God is God, and God is good. Come on, help me here. And secondly, God keeps his promises. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He'll see us through. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Just keep trusting the Lord. Just keep trusting the Lord. He is God, and he keeps his covenants.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.